Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints of God. Good evening and welcome to another special edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. Well, I'm excited to be in studio tonight because once again, I get to enter into the squared circle to duke it out with Jensen Franklin. If Mr. Spirit of Python Ignoramus is listening, again, I want to extend to him an open invitation to call the broadcast. The number here is area code 516-418-5978. Again, area code 516-516. Let me go slow. 516. He's slow, so I gotta read it slow. 516-418-5978. Maybe one of his children can write down the number and dial it for him and put the phone by his ear so he and I can talk, because we have some questions to ask Mr. Jensen Franklin. As you know, I am breaking down his moronic sermon. And what a doozy of a sermon it is. The sermon is called Jezebel's Children. He preached it back in July of 2019. And I tell you, if you ever wanted proof that this man is spiritually and biblically retarded, listen to this sermon, which we have. We've been dissecting it. And today is broadcast number 230. And this is part number 14, This is my 14th broadcast in this series in which I'm breaking down a sermon. So everybody needs to go to their outline right now as we're speaking, because it's going to take you a little while to scroll down. I send you these outlines, and then you got to scroll down. Today we're on page number 45, and the outline is growing. With every broadcast, the outline grows 3 to 4 to 5 pages in some occasions. So we're looking. You're looking at page number 45. The heading on top has to be in blue. The broadcast date is January the 16th, 2020. This is broadcast number 230, and this is part number 14. And today we begin with pillar number 3. Pillar number 3 is what we're dealing with today, and I'm only going to deal with pillar number 3 today and tomorrow. I'll obliterate pillar number 3 in 2 broadcasts. Now, saints, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been listening to all of the broadcasts in their order, please do, because all of these broadcasts are interconnected, and I want to thank you for sending me. Some have been sending me some wonderful emails that you appreciate the outlines, and you appreciate how thorough the breaking down of this dopey sermon has been. We've been just chopping it up, listening to everything Jensen Franklin has been saying methodically. We're methodically listening to everything, and then I prepare the outlines based on the stupid things that he says, and I show you, listen, it's stupidity versus scripture. That's what it is, stupidity versus scripture. Jensen Franklin says something stupid, and then I quote a scripture, just to show you how stupid he is, because you won't believe me unless I quote a scripture. And scripture is the kryptonite to Jensen Franklin's super-duper stupidity. That's what it is. It's the kryptonite. So this is why we have to always show you what the Bible says, and that'll prove that Jensen Franklin doesn't know what he's talking about. Again, the number here is area code 516-418-5978. I will invite any one of Jensen Franklin's church leaders to call in. If there are any church elders listening to me from the Free Chapel churches, any one of those elders can call the broadcast. I'm here. I'm willing to take phone calls. Jensen Franklin, I don't know where he is. He's hiding somewhere. He refuses to address this issue. And look, I've done 13 broadcasts already showing how stupid this man is. He's biblically stupid. There's no doubt. Listen, if I stopped today with this series, you wouldn't need any more proof. But I promised you that I would do all 5 pillars. I will show you why his sermon, which is based on 5 faulty, unreliable, unfounded interpretation pillars. I want to show you how each one of these pillars can be obliterated. And if I'm able to obliterate all 5, and right now his sermon is just standing on 3 remaining pillars because the first 2 have been obliterated. The first 2. And I'm going to begin to obliterate pillar number 3 today, and tomorrow it'll be down. So his whole house of cards just stands on 2 remaining pillars, which are so easy to obliterate. This guy is clueless. Clueless, 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 Jensen Franklin. My brothers and sisters, if you want the Spirit of Python trilogy, I wrote 3 books on Jensen Franklin's Spirit of Python book, his New York Times bestseller. I wrote a trilogy, Spirit of Python Dunce, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, and Spirit of Python Retard. If you want all 3 books, they're just yours for the asking. All you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I'll send you all 3 ebooks. In addition to that, if you want the outlines are also free of charge. All you have to do is email me for the outlines at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. It's the same email address for the outlines. It's the same email address for the books. All righty, Saints. Now, are you on page 45? That's where you need to be, page 45. The heading is blue. The broadcast number is 230. This is part 14, and the broadcast date is January the 16th, 2020. What we're doing in this series is we're dismantling Jensen Franklin's dopey sermon. By dismantling, I mean we're dissecting it. And as we dissect it, I show you, well, this position that he holds or this teaching is faulty, and this is the reason why. Then we go to the next position that he holds, and I'll tell you this is faulty, and then I'll tell you why, and we prove it. We give you the scriptures. We give you the theology, and so far it's been excellent. I am so excited about this series. It's going very, very, very well. Well, what is pillar number three? Let's look at pillar number three here in your outline. Pillar number three goes something like this. Franklin claims that the human spirit of Old Testament Jezebel has become a birthing demoness. Let me repeat that again. Jensen Franklin claims that the human spirit, because you know that Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, who was the daughter of the Zidonian king Ethbaal, who was the mother of Athaliah, Ahaziah, and Jehoram, that woman who was thrown out the window by the eunuchs and was trampled underfoot by the horses and who was eaten by dogs, that woman who went alive and nasty, threatened the prophet Elijah with death, that woman, when she died, and she was a human being, and the human beings are tripart creatures, they have soul, body, and spirit. Well, Jensen Franklin claims that at death, Jezebel's human spirit became a demoness, a demon, a fallen angel, a fallen angel, a female fallen angel. But not only that, but he also wants us to believe that not only is she a fallen angel, a fallen female angel, but now she's given birth. In fact, she has more children. Jensen Franklin wants us to believe that she has more children as a demonist than she had when she was a human being. Because, you know, when she was a human being, the Bible records the names of three of her children. Two men and one woman. Jehoram and Ahaziah were both kings of Israel. They were both men. They followed in their father's footsteps as king of the northern tribes of Israel. And Athaliah married into the royal family of Judah, and by treason and by murder, she reigned as queen for 7 years, until her death. So she had three children, nasty as herself. So Jensen Franklin wants us to believe that this woman, who had three children by means of her marriage to King Ahab, has more children as a demonist than she did as a human being. So let's leave the outline for now. You're at the right spot. You're on page 45. Let's listen to the portion of the sermon where Jensen Franklin makes this claim. And once again, please forgive me, Saints, for playing this sermon that you probably heard now. This is going to be the 14th time, because this is part number 14. This is going to be the 14th time that you hear this, but you need to hear it because I don't want anyone to accuse me of putting words in Jensen Franklin's mouth. Okay? So here is Jensen Franklin. He's going to refer us to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Let us listen.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have time to read that. Verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this, now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart, that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you live in. He said, now, in the Church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, But then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things. And if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now, let me give you.
So there you have it. She will reproduce children. This woman who died, he claims, transitioned into the afterlife. She went from human being in her first stage of existence. Then when she died, when she was trampled by the horses and eaten by the dogs, she gave up the ghost, and that ghost, some way, somehow, became a fallen angel, became a wicked spirit, and not just a wicked spirit, but a female wicked spirit, because she was female as human. Therefore, when she went into the afterlife, she went from female human to female spirit. And as a female, some way, somehow, he doesn't tell us how, she must be going to the disco, the clubs, the bar. You know, she's going out, partying, coming home with some male demon, getting pregnant and having babies. And then those babies are showing up at your church, your home, my home. They're landing on your front door, my front door. And unbeknown to us, we are feeding these children. We're entertaining them. And they're growing up because, you know, we're not paying attention. That's what Jensen Franklin claims. You heard him say it. You heard him say it. She's having children. And since she's a demoness, her children are demons. Okay? Here it is. I need to play this again. One little. Listen, I know it's hard to listen to, but I got to play this again.
Over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead. Her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up.
So here it is. Every generation since she died, because she died many years ago. She's dead. She died. And he claims every subsequent generation, she's given birth to demon children. And some way, somehow, unbeknown to us, unbeknown to humanity, unbeknown to the church, we've been entertaining these demons and we've been feeding these demons. We've been sheltering these demons. If that's the case, if I'm feeding them and I'm sheltering them, right, and I'm entertaining them, I might as well put them on my tax returns. Think about it. They might as well go down as dependents. Okay, how many demons, how many of Jezebel's children do I have in this house? Do I have seven? All right, what's your name? Well, give me your names. I'm going to put you down on my tax return. If I'm feeding you, if I'm entertaining you, if I'm providing you shelter, if I'm giving you a roof over your head, I might as well claim you in my taxes. This is absurd. Listen. I know I keep saying I've never heard of anything so stupid, but I keep saying that when it comes to Jensen Franklin, because he just surprises me with the stupid things that comes out of his mouth. He just surprises, and I just can't believe that not one elder, not one deacon, not one pastor, not one Sunday school teacher at any of the seven free chapel churches are getting up and asking this man, can you give us some Bible verses on this? Because I've never heard of this before. Like I said, I mean, I'm gonna speak to my accountant. I'm going to say, listen, this guy was preaching, and I didn't know, but he claims that I'm entertaining demons, I'm feeding them, I'm sheltering them. That looks like a dependent to me. Do you think I can claim them on my taxes? That's what Jensen Franklin claims. Here it is again. Here's just a little bit more that remains.
And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way.
I guess they're tenants in his brain. I mean, I guess that's where he's sheltering them. And the empty space between his two ears. So maybe he should claim them on his tax return. Maybe he's feeding them. He must be giving them room and board. He sounds like a crazy man. Listen, there's no way that anyone reading the Bible for 20, 30 years has ever come across anything like what this guy is describing. You can't find any of this in the Bible. Like I said, the human Jezebel, she had three kids. Queen Jezebel, three kids. The Bible gives us the names of her three children. This Jezebel he's talking about, spirit Jezebel, fallen angel Jezebel, demoness Jezebel, wicked spirit Jezebel, is having children like it's going out of style. This spiritual Jezebel must have some stretch marks. Wow. Is she having these demonic babies C-section? Or is she having these babies vaginally? I mean, come on. I want to ask them. If I was there on the debate stage, I would say to him, how is she having these babies? Is he using the Lamaze method to push them out? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right. Here's a little bit more.
Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now, let me give you some characteristics.
She will reproduce children. That's what he said. Jesus warned us. No, Jesus doesn't warn about any such thing. He's reading into the text. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said almost everything that he claims Jesus said here, Jesus never said. He's twisting the words of Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's manipulating the words of Christ. Okay. So now, let's go to our outline. Because I have to prove to you today, that there are no female demonists. Listen, a demoness is a female fallen angel. There are no female angels. There are none. There are none. So this is the first thing that we have to resolve today. Does the Bible teach that some angels are female or that some demons are female? Does the Bible teach that? And the answer is absolutely not. All right, so now, again, let's look at faulty interpretation pillar number 3. Franklin claims that the human spirit of Old Testament Jezebel has become a birthing demonist. In other words, Jezebel today, Old Testament Jezebel is today a female fallen angel, a female wicked spirit, a demoness. Not just a demoness, but a demoness who is having babies, who's having children, and who's having them like it's going out of style. All right? Okay, so now, this is pillar number 3. Let's look at the elemental theology tree. And here we want to look at the angelology branch, What is angelology? Angelology is that part of Christian theology devoted to clarifying and systematizing belief concerning the existence, and I put in bold, nature and various functions of supernatural beings called angels. So notice, when you study angelology, when you study the doctrine of angels, the first thing that numerous things that the angelology exposes you to is first the existence of angels. Do angels exist? And the Bible affirms that angels exist because God created them. The second thing that angelology deals with is the nature of angels. What are angels? What are they made of? Do they have human bodies? Do angels have souls? do angels have spirits? What is the nature of angels? What is the nature of their ranks? What is the nature of their features? Cherubims are a group of angels that are different from seraphims, that are different from archangels, that are different from principalities, that are different from angels called powers. Okay, there's all kinds, right? Okay, so what is the nature of angels? What is their constitution? What are they made of? What ranks do they hold? Are they male? Are they female? Are they old? Are they young? Are they elderly or are they infant? Like, you know, like sometimes you see these little cherubs, these little pudgy little baby angels. Well, that there's no such thing. There's no such thing as pudgy little angels with little bows and arrows. That doesn't, that the Bible says nothing of that. That's mythology. So what is the nature of angel? And what are the various functions of these supernatural beings? So there, the Bible speaks of their existence, when they came into existence, how they came into the existence, the fact that they do exist. The Bible affirms that. What is their nature? Are they stupid? Are they smart? Are they weak? Are they strong? See, are they? You see, all of that deals with the nature of angels. And then, of course, their various functions. The term angel comes from the Greek word meaning messenger, and this name was given to the heavenly beings that were believed to be the intermediaries between God and man, and that comes to us from the Handbook of Theological Terms by Harvey. And, of course, in the original print in the book, the word nature is not in bold, but I put it there because I want you to focus. I want you to focus on the fact that today we're talking about the nature, one of the aspects of the natures of angels. Okay, one of the aspects that we're not dealing with every aspect of the nature of angels, but for this broadcast and for this study, since we're dealing with Jensen Franklin, one of the things that we want to talk about the nature of angels is that there are no female angels. There has never been female angels. Point number two, in the Bible, angels and demons are male and never female. In the Bible, angels and demons are male and never female. Okay? That's very important. Very, very important. There are no female angels. There never was. There never has been. Okay? Now, this poses a problem for Jensen Frank. It poses a problem because he claims that Jezebel, is a female fallen angel. But we already saw that it's impossible for a human. Remember, we dealt in pillar number two because he claims that this woman Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, that some way, somehow, and he doesn't explain how, and he provides no Bible verses. He tries to tell us that when she was a human and she died, in the next life she reappears as a wicked spirit or a fallen angel or a demoness. He doesn't show us how that happened. Okay, so we dealt with that. That no human in this life becomes an angel in the next life. That's Jewish myth. That's Jewish fable. We dealt with that. Now, the problem we're dealing with today is he wants us to believe that she's a female fallen spirit or a female demoness or a female angel. But the problem is God never made any. So that must mean that Jensen Franklin, along with all of the Jewish myth tellers and all of the Jewish fabulists, they made up this notion that there are female angels. Now, God didn't make them, but Jensen Franklin and those who came before him made this up. So God didn't make them, but Jensen Franklin and his fellow false teachers made them. Okay? All right. Bullet point number one. In Scripture, elect angels, which are the good angels, which are the angels that remain faithful to God. That's what elect angels means. in Scripture, and you can check this out, and you can pull out your concordance and look up the word elect angels, and you'll find it, the phrase elect, and you'll find this. In Scripture, elect angels, which is another term for obedient angels, faithful angels, good angels, and fallen angels, those who rebelled with Satan, are always referred to as being masculine gender. God created no female angels. Thus, when some of the angels followed Satan and rebelled and left their first estate, as Jude says in verse 6 of his epistle, they remained male gender. In other words, when good angels rebelled against God and fell into sin and followed the devil and made their choice to follow the devil, none of them became female. They all remained male. That's a fact. So again, in Scripture, not in mythology. Don't go by mythology. And don't go by fables. But in Scripture, elect angels and fallen angels alike are always referred to as being masculine gender. God, teaches the Bible, created no female angels. Thus, when some of the angels followed Satan in rebellion and left their first estate, they remained male gender. Thus, there can be no female demons. There can't be. So this is a problem for Jensen Franklin. He did not study angelology. He dropped out of Bible college. He knows nothing of angelology. This pandemonist, this guy who sees demons everywhere, knows nothing of angelology, satanology, demonology. He is completely clueless. Now, let me give you some examples. In the book of Job, for instance, angels are referred to in Hebrew as Beni Elohim. That translated into English means sons of God. And you find this phrase in Job chapter 1, verse 6, when God was holding court and all the sons of God or all the angels appeared before the Lord. You find this same phrase in Job chapter 2, verse 1. And then you find this very same phrase in Job chapter 38, verse 7, when it talks about the creation of angels, when he created the sons of God, and they all shouted for joy before the Lord. So these are the three instances where they're called Beni Elohim, sons of God. Notice, my brothers and sisters, none of the angels or the group of angels God created are called daughters of God. They're not called sons and daughters of God. They're not called daughters of God. They're all called sons of God as a collective group. There's no room for ambiguity. There's no room for maybe. They are called sons of God. And the sons of God came before the Lord to give an account of their assignments that he had bestowed upon each and every one of them. That you find in Job 1:6 and in Job 2:1. Always, angels are referred to in the masculine, sons of God. Never sons and daughters of God, never daughters of God, and always sons of God. All right. We read in Genesis that three men appeared to Abraham at Mamre. That's Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. Three men appeared to Abraham. Three men, not three women. Not one man, two women. Not two men, one woman. No, three men appeared to Abraham at Mamre. One of these men later identified himself as the Lord. And the other two were identified as what? Angels. angels. So there are three men. One is a theophany. One is a theophany slash Christophany, because all theophanies are a Christophany or an appearance of Christ before he took on flesh. So the main speaker here who is doing most of the talking before Abraham is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ before he took on flesh, and he's called the angel of the Lord, not because, as the Jehovah Witnesses teach, Jesus was an angel, but simply because the Hebrew word malak means messenger of God. That's all it means. That's all it means. So there are three messengers of God, and the author of Genesis records that the three messengers had the appearance of men, not women. Now, this is consistent, again, with the fact that the Bible always emphasizes that angels are always referred to in the masculine gender. One of these messengers from God was the Lord himself, and the other two were angels. There are the scriptures, Genesis 18:22 and Genesis 19:1. The two angels looked so much like men that the perverted sodomites demanded that Lot hand them over that they might know them, that term being a euphemism for having sexual relations. These sodomites, these homosexuals, did not ask Lot for the two women that went into his house. They asked for the two men because angels always appear, always have the appearance of men, and are referred to as men, okay? All right. And the reason why the sodomites asked for the men was because they wanted to satisfy their unnatural sexual desires with the two men that went into Lot's house, but unbeknown to the sodomites, they were really two angels. Okay, so notice, in the book of Job, angels are referred to as the sons of God, and here in this Genesis account that I just read to you, Genesis 18 and 19, angels are referred to as men. They have the appearance of men, not women. Okay, let's go to bullet point number three. In addition to looking like men, the Bible gives angels masculine gender names. For instance, Michael is the name of God's archangel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 and 21, Daniel 12, 1, Jude 9, Revelation 12, 7. The name Michael is a masculine noun. That has to do with grammar. It's a masculine noun. Gabriel is the angel that announced the supernatural conception and natural birth of the Christ. Daniel 8:16, Daniel 9:21 through 22, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, and verses 26 through 31. Gabriel is also a masculine noun. Incidentally, Gabriel means man of God. Man, listen, it's not woman of God, it's man of God. Man, because why? Angels are always referred to in the masculine. The angel that rolled away the huge stone outside Christ's sepulcher was said to be a young man in both the Matthew account and in the Mark account. In St. Luke's account, two men, meaning two angels, were inside the tomb and announced that Christ had risen. Two men, which were really two angels. Notice, There weren't two angels looking like women inside Christ's tomb. No, two angels looking like two men, referred to in Luke's account as two men. When Christ ascended into heaven, two men, meaning two angels, spoke to the gathered disciples and proclaimed Christ's second coming. This is Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Even Satan, prior to his rebellion and fall, was called by a masculine proper noun, that name being Lucifer. And by the way, when you read Isaiah 14, he's called Lucifer, the son of the morning. The son, not the daughter of the morning, but the son of the morning. The son, S-O-N, son. You see, even fallen angels are referred to what? In the masculine. All right, so now let's get our Bibles because we need to do a little bit of reading. And let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Because here Satan is referred to, and when he is being referred to in this text, masculine personal pronouns such as his, himself, he, him are used when speaking of Satan. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's see. It says here, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. It doesn't say her devices. Her would be feminine, a feminine masculine pronoun. No, it's a masculine personal pronoun. His devices, not her devices. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Again, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. And let's look at verse 14 and 15. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself, notice, not Satan herself, but Satan himself, my brothers and sisters, that is again a masculine personal pronoun. Himself is a masculine personal pronoun. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, not her ministers, but his ministers, also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their what? Works. All right. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 7. Revelation 12, 7, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael, again, a masculine, right? We already saw this. Michael is the name of an archangel of God, and it's a masculine noun. So it says, there was war in heaven. Mike, since Michael is masculine, it says Michael and his angels. Had Michael been feminine, it would have said Michael and her angels. But it's Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Whose angels? Satan's angels, the dragon's angels, his angels. Again, when referring to Satan, it always refers to him in the masculine. Now let's look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He, masculine. See, it doesn't say she was cast out into the earth. It says he was cast out into the earth and his angels. Now, if Satan had been feminine, it would have said, and she was cast out into the earth, and her angels were cast out with her. But notice, it says, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels, his, were cast out with him. All of these are masculine personal pronouns. Okay, my brothers and sisters, let's move on. Jesus told the Pharisees that the devil was their what? Father, not mother. and that he, Satan, was the father of lies, not the mother of lies. The Greek word for father is John 8:4 is pater, which means a father, spoken generally of men, and in a special sense, it refers to God. God is the father of all who believe. In a special sense, Satan is called the father of wicked and depraved men. That's John 8:38, 41, and 44. He's called the father of wicked men, of depraved men. Satan as father is a model of evil whom sinners emulate, taking on much of Satan's evil character as well. So notice, he's the father of lies. You are of the father of your father, the devil, Jesus said. Notice, my brothers and sisters, Satan is never referred to in the masculine. Now, the final bullet point. In addition, dear saints of God, in addition, Satan is called the prince of devils, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. All of these, listen, the word prince there that I have in bold for prince of devils, and the word prince there, the prince of this world that I have in bold, and the word prince there when I have the power of the air, all of these are masculine gender, and never once is Satan referred to as princess. Not once. Listen, Jensen Franklin gets this idea that Jezebel, the wicked woman who died, became a fallen angel. He gets this from Jewish fables. But also the fact that there are female fallen angels, he gets that from Jewish fables. This whole notion that Jezebel is a female fallen angel is directly, it just lines up. You could just trace it right back to Jewish fables and to pagan mythology. This idea of female demons is, you can't find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere. There are no female demons. Why? Because demons came into the existence, or they entered into their demonic career when they fell as good angels. All angels in the beginning, all of them that were made good, they were all masculine. When they fell, the only thing that changed was their will. That's the only thing that changed. They are still spirit. They're spirit form, and they're all male. They are all male. There are no female demons. If demons wanted to go on a date, they couldn't. Because there are no female demons for them. It's not like when a man wants to go on a date, he goes to the website and he goes to dating sites and he starts looking for a woman. Well, angels can't go on a dating site because there are no females. There are none. So again, my brothers and sisters, again, this whole notion that Jezebel in this life now is a demoness is not founded upon the word of God. And Jensen Franklin would have known this had he not dropped out of Bible school. And if he had to drop out of Bible school because of some economic reason, he could have purchased a slew of books that would have told him, he could have educated himself, he could have found out that there is no such thing as female demons. None. They don't exist. Why? Because God never created female angels. And since God never created female angels, there can be no female demons. None whatsoever. ever. None. So we must conclude, once again, that Jensen Franklin has made another bizarre statement he can't biblically support with a proof text. I would encourage the pastors, the associate pastors there at the Free Chapel churches, ask him for a Bible verse that shows that there are female angels. Ask him for a Bible verse. He's not going to be able to provide you with. There are none in the scriptures. Upon physical death, female Jezebel never became a female demon. Demons are fallen angels, and no angel was created or ever referred to as being female. There are only female demons in Jewish fables and pagan myths, accounts and stories we are told to reject by the Apostle Paul. These pagan myths and stories, we are to reject them. We're to have nothing to do with them because they turn people away from the truth. So this is the first attack on pillar number three. And tomorrow, pillar number three comes down. It's very, this is the simplest pillar to knock down. Why? Because there are no female demons, not in Scripture. You go outside the Bible, you go to extra-biblical revelation, you go to New Age teaching, you go to the Kabbalah. You go to any wacky school that you want to, you'll find female demons, but not in the Bible, not in the inspired Word of God. None. In fact, there are no gay demons. There are no, we do not find anywhere where there are demons who are male who are trying to play out the female role. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Not gay, not female. Nowhere. So I'll be back tomorrow. You don't want to miss this part two of this third pillar because it only gets better. It only gets better, saints. You don't want to miss this. And then once I deal with this pillar tomorrow, we move on to pillar number four, and it's just getting even better. And Jensen Franklin has absolutely no answers whatsoever. No answers. And that's why he's not calling the broadcast. Well, saints, I love you much. Tune in tomorrow. We get rid of this third pillar, 1, 2, 3, in two broadcasts. It comes down real fast. Tune in tomorrow. Love you much in Jesus.